It's a dark moment that you or someone you know may well have faced, a cancer diagnosis. As things proceed and amid all the internal turmoil and visits to hospital, I'm guessing exercise would be about the last thing on your mind. But some of Australia's major cancer organisations are now calling for exercise to be prescribed as an essential part of the treatment for cancer. We'll hear from the experts in a moment, but first of all, let's meet Nicole Cooper. Now, Nicole, in March last year, you were diagnosed with stage 4 bowel cancer. What did the doctors say to you at the time about your prognosis?
They didn't say much that was positive about my prognosis at the time. So I was diagnosed with a stage 4 advanced bowel cancer. It had spread to other areas of my body. So it was in my liver, it was in my lung, it was in a lymph node. And I was told basically that I was looking at a regime of palliative sort of chemotherapy, and that people on that type of treatment perhaps had 2, maybe 3 years to live. So it was quite a dire set of circumstances that
and
I was originally facing.
You're how old?
33.
Right. And you at the time had an 8-month-old baby?
Correct.
Right. So you had a lot to live for.
Very much so.
So what shifted out of being given that, going into palliative care, 2 or 3 years to live?
So I sat on that news for maybe 48 hours before I decided I needed to be a little bit more proactive in seeking some alternative opinions, and found someone who was prepared to consider an alternative.
This is another oncologist.
Correct, mm-hmm. Correct. So I actually started with a surgeon because my liver was ultimately the thing that was going to take me, if anything was, at that stage. So I started with a liver surgeon and as an alternative opinion, who said that maybe there was a sliver of hope for me.
For your liver.
Yes, correct. If I was prepared to jump in and work really hard and take part in a really aggressive form of chemotherapy, and then also look after myself. So he referred me to an oncologist who was very direct in prescribing an aggressive form of chemotherapy with a view to ultimately working towards surgery and the chemotherapy, you know, enabling a surgery in the future.
So the chemotherapy knocking out enough lesions to permit
in the liver, correct,
surgery.
Correct.
So who first suggested you include exercise along the way as part of this treatment?
So my oncologist was the first person to suggest that at the very first meeting that I had with him. So when he said, this is the plan, this is what we're shooting for, we're trying to make this liver operable, and part of your job in this treatment plan is to exercise.
And what sort of exercise did you start off doing?
So he suggested that I did a combination of resistance-based training, so weights, and he was quite firm around being in the gym and lifting heavy weights. He sort of said, you know, I'm not talking here about going for a nice walk in the park. I'm talking about really working up a sweat. Cardiovascular work he wanted me to do as well, but he asked me to start with weights and focus on that to begin with and really get my strength up in the gym and then look to evolve that and to spend some time doing cardio as well.
Well, Nicole, I want to learn more about how things then proceeded for you, but let me now introduce Dr. David Speakman. He's the Chief Medical Officer at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre and joining us from the hospital via Skype. David, Nicole's oncologist wanted her to exercise. Now, that's not something that's been traditionally or commonly recommended for cancer patients, has it?
I think that's right, Amanda, and really the aim of the exercise now, if you'll pardon the pun, is to get everyone, so that's both clinicians and patients, to understand is that exercise is actually a therapy for cancer. It's another way of treating the cancer. So it needs to go alongside with chemotherapy and drugs, you know, surgery and radiotherapy. Exercise should be seen as an integral part of that whole treatment plan.
But David, the previously, as I understand it, it was much more about, letting a patient rest through treatment. What are the problems with that sort of wrapping in cotton wool, I suppose, mode of care?
Well, I think it's not so much that we want to wrap them in cotton wool. It is very difficult to get through, and we know that a lot of the treatment causes fatigue and other sort of long-lasting side effects. And the evidence seems very clear that exercise will at the get-go, so from the outset, will help to prevent those types of things. And I think we're not suggesting that you don't need some rest, but I think it needs to be balanced with a moderate amount of exercise. And we're not suggesting that's, you know, 20 trips to the gym every day. I think, as you've heard from Nicole, it's an individual tailored program for each patient, because everyone's needs are different. I think, as you said, though, the key message is to get everyone to understand that it's a key plank or a key platform in the treatment program. It's not an optional extra. And I think, you know, if you're in my practice every day, I'm asked, you know, Doc, how can I help myself get through this? And I think we often say to patients, oh, you could do a bit of exercise. I think that's, we're not being clear and direct enough now. We've got the evidence in that actually we should be saying, no, you should go and get a program tailored to help you get through this. And that will involve some exercise. For some people, that might be walking for 30 minutes a day. And for others, it'll be more tailored stuff in the gym and that type of thing as Nicole's mentioned.
Well, Professor Prue Cormey is also here with us. She's an exercise physiologist and she chairs the Exercise and Cancer Group with the Clinical Oncology Society of Australia. And Prue, you've said that if the effects of exercise could be put into a pill, it'd be prescribed to every cancer patient worldwide. How specifically does exercise help when you're being treated for cancer?
But we know that people who exercise regularly experience fewer and less severe treatment-related side effects. They have a lower relative risk of their cancer coming back, and they have a lower relative risk of dying from their cancer. Now, research has also established that exercise is an effective medicine that helps patients tolerate aggressive treatments. It minimises the physical declines caused by cancer, helps counteract cancer-related fatigue, much like David mentioned, as well as minimising mental distress and depression and anxiety that's associated with cancer. So we see that exercise is a very potent medicine to improve somebody's overall well-being and quality of life.
In some ways, though, I mean, what you're saying is sort of seems counterintuitive because, you know, we're talking about aggressive treatments that can make you feel really dreadful. And as I've sort of mentioned, the last thing you feel like doing is being physically active. But you're saying it actually helps, Prue.
Yes, certainly. So even though it's probably the last thing that people want to think about doing when they're going through very aggressive treatments, we know from the scientific research that exercise is one of the best medicines that someone with cancer can take in addition to their standard cancer therapies. And it's very hard for people to adhere with the lofty goals of the exercise guidelines that we recommend. So this is why we very specifically ask people to get in touch with an exercise physiologist or a physiotherapist who has experience in cancer care, and they can provide a targeted exercise medicine prescription that's individualised to each person. So even on the days when they're feeling horrendous and terrible and don't want to get out of bed, that they have a plan in place that's specific to them to allow them to engage in exercise medicine.
Well, Nicole, how did you feel, you know, as you were proceeding through this very heavy, aggressive chemotherapy, and I imagine feeling pretty terrible, you know, could you make yourself exercise? How did you go with that?
Yes, I could make myself exercise. And the fact that I had been told specifically by my doctor, by a medical professional, that I needed to actually made a big difference in my motivation every day. So when you're sitting in, you know, the depths of a chemotherapy-induced fatigue and nausea and, you know, sweats and, you know, early menopausal symptoms and all of the other things that come with these really aggressive treatments, the fact that someone has explicitly said to you that not only are you allowed to exercise, but you should, and it's a requirement, and that you need to prioritise that within your day, I think really makes a difference to then you feeling motivated to do it. The idea of doing it at times was overwhelming. And at times that meant that exercise to me had to look more like a walk around the park. But even that alone was enough for me to think, you know what, tomorrow I think I could escalate that to get back into the gym. And I think there's a very cyclical nature with cancer treatment as well. You're constantly going through the ups and downs, the peaks and troughs of treatment. So I would come out of, you know, a 3-day chemotherapy regimen, because that's, you know, how it's delivered to me every fortnight.
And you're still on that.
I am, back in the chemo chair in another week. So I come out of that 3-day treatment at really quite a low in terms of my body, my physical side effects that I'm feeling, and then have to slowly kind of plot that path back up to feeling great, to the point that on chemo eve, as I call it, I'm sort of at a high point and probably doing the best in the gym, knowing that I'm about to have to start at the bottom again, and that's tough.
Here in Life Matters, cancer and exercise. The Clinical Oncology Society of Australia is now recommending that exercise should be prescribed to cancer patients as a standard part of their treatment, a position that's also supported by the Cancer Council and more than 20 other cancer organisations in Australia. Nicole Cooper was diagnosed with terminal bowel cancer last year. She's now technically in remission. Professor Prue Cormie is an exercise physiologist, and Dr. David Speakman is an oncologist at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre. I guess what, as a surgical oncologist, what would you say doctors need to consider when prescribing exercise to a person with cancer?
Well, I think that the key things are just to discuss with patients why exercise will benefit them. And I think there's two things from an oncology point of view. One is that in almost every cancer where we've looked at the benefits of exercise, we've seen a decrease in the chance of the cancer recurring or coming back. And I think that's not to be underestimated. And I think the second thing is that, unfortunately, the fact is when a doctor says, this is what you should do, even if it's something as terrible as the chemotherapy treatment Nicole was talking us through, patients will generally take that on board. And I think up until this point, we've been fairly soft on talking about exercise. We said, oh, yes, you can try it and that sort of thing. And lots of, to be fair, lots of oncologists have been promoting it for a good while. I think the point of the position statement from cancer and all the other, from COSA, I should say, and the other societies you've heard about, is to say this has to be ingrained as a routine part of therapy, and doctors have to be, if you like, saying it's doctor's orders, just like they would about chemotherapy or anything else. It's very clear if you talk to patients that the imprimatur of the clinical staff, be they, in fact, it's very fair to say that patients will often listen to expert cancer nurses and physios and those types of people more so than they'll listen to the doctor. And I think we want to empower those people to help the patients get through not just the treatment of chemotherapy, the treatment of cancer, but then they're getting back into their life once their cancer's treated. And it's very clear that an exercise program delivered by an exercise physiologist who can tailor it to a person's individual needs is absolutely contributing to that outcome. And I think for doctors, the message is we need to push this as hard as possible, because it's going to help our patients and it actually empowers the patients to help themselves, which of course they can't do much about chemotherapy and radiotherapy and surgery, but they certainly can do something about how much they put into exercise.
Prue, I can imagine, though, that for those people who are already used to exercising, when they get a cancer diagnosis, it's not going to be so hard to convince them to stay active. You've got a much harder job, I imagine, for those who are in treatment for cancer who haven't previously been especially active. What are the strategies?
Indeed, only 1 in 10 people diagnosed with cancer are exercising enough to realise the benefits that we see from the research literature. So this needs to change. Even though people assume that if you exercise, it's much easier to exercise and you benefit from exercise, we actually see from the scientific literature that people who haven't exercised before or experiencing really severe side effects, they actually benefit the most from the exercise. And when we can tailor an exercise prescription to those patients and make sure that we can account for all the symptoms and side effects that they're experiencing, they actually benefit much greater and they engage in a program even though that they didn't think that they could or that they would. So, for example, we've just had a patient who, on the eve of starting a three-month program, thought that she would never finish a program and wanted to pull out. She attended almost 100% of her exercise sessions, which was over a three-month period, three times a week for over an hour in a clinic. So people who think that they can't exercise can when it's in the right environment, and they can benefit significantly from it.
So, Nicole, what do you think, what difference do you think the exercise made to you personally? I mean, given that we're talking about you getting a pretty dire prognosis and you're here.
So I saw very immediate physical improvements in myself. So I was suffering from peripheral neuropathy. A lot of pain, sensitivity, tingling in my extremities, so my feet and my hands, numbness that has decreased almost immediately. I had times when I almost couldn't control my hands. They were sort of taken over by the drugs. That has decreased significantly, and I actually notice a difference going in and coming out of the gym in terms of the way that my feet and my fingers feel. So that sort of thing in terms of the symptoms, the really harsh symptoms, the side effects that come along with a chemotherapy regimen, I saw a physical improvement there. Now, of course, I saw a physical improvement in my own strength, which is really important because I've had two major surgeries. I've had a bowel resection, a liver resection, and a lung resection. Gosh. So that's a lot of surgery to recover from. So I needed to go into that surgery feeling good so I could recover accordingly. But I cannot overstate the impact of exercise on my mental well-being and the idea that I had control over an outcome.
Which is what David's been saying.
Absolutely. And I cannot, it just made such a difference to me to know that in this scenario that was totally out of my control and my life as I had planned out, you know, was just taken away from me in one meeting with one doctor. The fact that I could regain some of that control, put myself back in the driver's seat of my own life and ultimately have an impact on an outcome and hopefully get rid of my cancer was so hugely empowering.
Well, David Speakman, the Clinical Oncology Society's position on this, you know, in a statement that was declared yesterday, is a world first. Why is Australia taking the lead on this?
I think really we're taking the lead in saying that it needs to be put in as part of the treatment package. It would be unfair to say that there aren't people around the world who understand the value of exercise after cancer or during cancer treatment. But I think probably we're lucky in Australia that we've got people driving implementation of this type of evidence into clinical practice. And that's people like Prue and champions like Nicole who are getting out and telling everyone the benefits they've had from it. So I think that we are lucky that we're essentially a pretty progressive country in this sense, and that we can get our clinicians mobilised to enact and implement something like this in a pretty quick-fire fashion. And that's the value of organisations like COSA in getting this type of broad brush benefit to patients out across the nation in a hurry. I think it's just another example of how Australia does lead the world in a lot of areas in cancer care. Sunscreen programs and all that sort of stuff have been taken up in America and Europe because of the success they've had here, and hopefully exercise as a prescription, as a routine part of treatment, will be taken up just with the same vigour they've taken up some of our other great ideas.
And Dr. David Speakman is an oncologist and the Chief Medical Officer at the Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre. Professor Prue Cormie is an exercise physiologist and she's the Chair of the Exercise and Cancer Group with COSA, the Clinical Oncology Society of Australia. And Nicole Cooper was diagnosed with terminal bowel cancer last year. On the advice of her oncologist, she built exercise into her treatment program. She's now in remission. I wish you all the very best. Nicole, thank you. And David and Prue, thanks to you too.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks very much, Amanda.
And if you or someone you're close to has, during cancer treatment, found exercise to be possible and helpful, why don't you let us know what the exercise was and how it helped? You can let us know on Facebook. You're listening to Life Matters.